Welcome back to another episode of Make Your Mess Your Message. I'm your host, Chelsea Diaz. I am so excited to be here with you today. I hope you are enjoying this beautiful Friday. And I hope that up to this point in your week, you've had everything that you have asked for and received and are just walking in wholeness and abundance. I know that we are coming towards the best season, which is spring. And well, technically, we're already in spring, so coming up on summer. And the summertime is probably one of my favorite seasons next to fall, mainly because I was born in the summer. So I am a summer babe and enjoy being out in the sunshine and just really soaking in some vitamins. And today's episode is not about the sun and vitamins, in case you were wondering. Although, I do think I may talk about this at some point. Anyways, besides my random squirrel thoughts that pop in my head, I'm sure you all have them. I am just so excited to be here with you today and talk about something that has actually been a part of my whole life. I've been on this journey with this topic my whole life. And I feel like I have enough years to really dive deeper into what I would like to dive into, which is how to heal. Now, if you're still with me, it's only been 2 minutes in. I hope you're still sticking in with me at 2 minutes. If you're not, then we'll talk about that another time. But how to heal. This is a very, very intriguing topic. As you know, healing is an active work of art. It really is. You look at some of the greatest artists of all time, and artists, true artists, they never stop. True artists don't make a masterpiece, like say a Picasso, and then their life's work is done. It's complete. They've come to the top, but now they can sleep. No. That's not how this works. A true artist never stops working at their art. And healing is an art. And I believe for my life specifically, and perhaps you'll identify with this in your own life, you will see that you may have thought you were done with a particular area in your life, but truth be told, you weren't, right? And so perhaps you're like me when the thought came trickling across my brain, oh, I thought I was done dealing with that area of my life. I thought I healed from that. And truth be told, you didn't. Now, it's not to say that you did it the first time, but what it means is that there's layers. And that's what I really want to unravel in today's episode. So I really hope that I have your attention. I really hope that you're in this journey with me and that you're really seeking out some true answers to what your heart needs the most. And I don't care where you're from, who you are, what you do, who your parents are, anything. You are a human being, point blank straight. Unless you are from planet Mars, you are a human being. And every single human being living on this earth has experienced trauma in their life. Now, the amount of trauma, the extent of the trauma, that can vary from person to person, but trauma is trauma. It has no respect of person. And how we cope with trauma, how we look at trauma in the face and essentially tackle it down layer by layer by layer. And I will speak on this topic from personal experience. So it's not like I've never been through trauma, because I have. I've actually been through a lot of trauma, more than the average person, actually. Hence, why Make Your Mess Your Message podcast is so vital, because I wish I would have had the answers back then. Oh my goodness, how I wish I had a sense of direction, because perhaps that could have saved me time, right? If time is of the essence, and how you grasp and handle things, perhaps, but that's okay. I'm here now. And this is why I love what I get to do every single week upon week. I hope that you are gaining some sort of insight and some sort of knowledge from the information that I've put out up to this point. And so, yeah, I speak from a place of trauma, and I also speak from a place of survivorship. And I also speak from a place that if I can do it, so can you. I'm serious. If I can do it, so can you, my friend, wherever you are. However your life sits right now, however it's played out to this point, nothing is a lost cause. Your life is not a lost cause. The events that have led you up to this point is not a lost cause. So you have to first stop looking at yourself as a lost cause and believe that you are a cause. You have a purpose, and that you are to fulfill this in your lifetime. But I can assure you, you cannot, I repeat, you cannot fulfill your purpose if you have not done your due diligence with healing. I heard this phrase some odd years ago, and it went something like this: hurting people hurt people. I'll say that one more time. Hurting people hurt people. And I felt like that to my core. I thought that, wow, that is completely accurate. If you are currently finding yourself in your life hurting other people, know that to an extent it's not your fault, because you're hurting. It just so happens that the way you cope with your trauma is doing that to others, because it was done to you. And I can assure you, this is not who you are. This is not what you're to become. And I think that as a cultural society that we live in today, we frown upon against people that have done some horrendous crime to someone. But have we ever took a step back to look at who they are as a person? Why did they do what they do? Not on the surface level, but to go deeper, to go into the emotional space that they possess, and the why behind their emotional space. So I would like to begin with how to heal. That's tonight's message. And I can assure you, when you do what's necessary in this practice, you will see and reap benefits. Things will change. Things that you never thought would change will change. And they will change dramatically and quickly. Now, I can assure you this, like I mentioned earlier, every artist doesn't just create one masterpiece and they're done. No, 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 no. It is an everyday choice and act. Healing is an everyday accountance. Every day. It should be so ingrained into your daily lifestyle and routine that if you're not healing, you're not growing. And I don't know about you, but I have been on this ramp about growing, not in height, because trust me, I'm decent size. I don't need to get any larger in terms of my height is concerned. But I want to grow in all levels of my life, spiritually, physically, emotionally. And I know in order for me to do that, I have to heal. And I have to do that every day. And so do you. So I'm just really, really, really excited to just dig much deeper into this topic, into something that I'm very passionate about. Many years ago, I was a student mentor at a local church, and I remember being a teenager myself. And I remember absolutely just lost in my teenager years. Not lost in a way that you may think, but lost in terms of just, I had nobody. I'm the oldest, so it's not like I had an older sibling to call to. I'm the only girl in my family, so I have brothers. I didn't really understand the concept of friends, and I'll get to that at some other point. But I struggled immensely when it came to trusting people. I have been burned and done wrong in so many ways. It's unfathomable. And so, yeah, it really was me, myself, and I for such a long time. Go Beyonce for making that song. And I just remember when I stepped out into leadership and taking young ladies underneath my wing, so to speak, how I took that very seriously, because I knew that if I could change anything and potentially change the trajectory of someone's life, it would be in their teenager years. You know, it's one thing when a baby is born, their first year of their life is critical. Yes, that's very accurate. However, in your teenager years, that will dictate your adult years, no doubt. Now, does it mean that every teenager that on planet Earth that has went through a wild streak doesn't come back? No, because I personally know a handful of teenagers that have done this, and now they're in their 20s and they're thriving. Thank God. However, there are some teenagers that go off the deep end, so to speak, and they don't come back. So your teenager years do dictate a lot of what you do in your adult years and how that shapes you as an adult. And your adult years, I mean, let's face it, that's it. There's no other stage other than senior citizen. That just means you're extra wise. Extra wise, silver citizen, silver adult, right? But you're still an adult. So I remember meeting a number of teenagers, and to be quite honest, there's a handful of testimonies that I could speak on for hours of their life and where they're at today. But what I'm getting to is this. Some of my hardest years were my teenager years, and how I wished I had somebody that just cared to input some sort of knowledge to me, but I didn't, and that's okay. So I had to learn certain things the very hard way, and that's where I'm at today, where I still am very intertwined into mentoring students. I have stepped away from that spectrum simply because I had to put my attention to other things and other areas of my life that if I was going to grow, I had to spend some time in some other areas, but that's okay. I feel that I stay very connected with the relationships that I built over the years. And for that, I'm just very thankful. I remember when it came to teenager young ladies, yes, I was young, but I wasn't that much older than a lot of these teenagers. I started mentoring actually when I was 21 years old. I was 21. That's probably the prime time to party your butt off, but that wasn't my life. My partying consists of hanging out with teenagers and making sure they don't do that, right? But that's okay. I wouldn't change it for the world. I wouldn't change how I spent my younger 20s by any means, because I know that the lives of these young ladies are now benefiting, hopefully, the seeds that were planted a long time ago. And they are. I can see them, and they're blooming in their way, finding their way through adulthood. So I remember the number one thing that I continue to hear over and over and over again through private conversation, one-on-one sessions, group sessions, so on and so forth. A lot of these young ladies had trouble with who they are as a person. And I think that identity is a critical component that you must have a handle on, right? And second to that was healing. I mean, if Jesus is the healer of all healers and he came to save us, what does that say about us? It means that we need a healing hand on our lives, not just one time when you're saved, but every single day of our lives. So Jesus walked upon this earth for 30 something odd years, and he didn't get into the main enchilada, so to speak, of his life until he was in his 30s. That says something. It says something to me. I don't know about you. But he didn't start performing healing on people until later in his ministry. So what I'm getting to is this, is that we all have faced some sort of traumatic event in our life. It could be one event, it could be two, it could be a multiple, it could be a combination, however it fits for you. But we have to understand that we're not meant to identify with our traumatic event. In other words, the traumatic event that occurred is an event. It's not an occasion. Okay? Therefore, there are some of us, and I would assure you, in terms of the population is concerned, a lot of us who, to this day, continue to live in an occasion based on a traumatic event. So, in other words, hurting people hurt people. They continue to walk in that event. Yeah, the scenery's changed around them. the date in the year has changed around them. People have gotten older around them. But in their minds, in their lives, the event is real. The event is their world. And they see everything around them through that lens. So this is how you know that you have not healed properly. One, you have an emotional response when you talk about that traumatic event. So pointing example. Let's look at, I'm just going to say Linda. Linda was 10 years old and she experienced physical abuse from her father. Linda grew up, she got older, and that physical abuse continued to incur in her relationships, romantic relationships, as she aged. And it wasn't just one relationship, it was a multiple relationships. Fast forward, Linda is a mother of two, single, working, and doesn't really do anything much after that. There's not much going on. Linda has decided that this is her life, right? That where she's been at in her life, that's it. These were the cards she was dealt with, so to speak. And fast forward, Linda is well in her age, her kids have grown. She's coming towards the end of her life. Nothing's ever really changed. But Linda has continued to see her life through this particular lens, which is physical abuse. And that can occur more than one occasion. And so that carries through in all areas of her life, right? And so what I'm getting to is this, that until Linda decides and makes, it's a choice, honestly, you may have not chosen the traumatic event. Maybe perhaps the traumatic event was not your choosing, which is honestly, nobody chooses to go through a traumatic event, period. Nobody chooses that. If you're choosing traumatic events, you need to get your head checked. But 10 out of 10, nobody chooses traumatic events. But what you can choose is to get out of the event, stop living the occasion, and seek proper help. When there's nothing to be ashamed of when you need help. And if anybody ever tells you or makes you feel this way, you better run the opposite direction from that individual. Because I personally had felt that way for so many years that I couldn't get help, so to speak. And man, that cost me. That cost me deeply. But again, that's okay. It is okay. So perhaps you identify with Linda, or perhaps there's another scenario that's coming to your mind, whatever it may be. I want you to understand there's a few steps that you must take today, not tomorrow, but today, in how to heal. Step one is to acknowledge the traumatic event that occurred. And this one may be tough. Acknowledging, accepting, that's step one. And step two would be simply looking for the recovery. So recovery can come in many forms, and everyone's recovery journey is different. None of us actually will have the same recovery method or plan, so to speak. You have to find what works best for you, and it may be a combination of things. And I'll get into some examples about that in a little bit. And then finally, step three is to forgive. Now, in another podcast prior to this, I talked about forgiveness. If you haven't listened to that, go back to that. That will perhaps help you in these steps. But to forgive. And I will say this very boldly and clearly. Forgiveness is not from the person that did you wrong in any way. Forgiveness is for yourself. You have to forgive yourself. And this one took me a very, 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 very long time to understand fully and to actually do it. So, I believe between these three steps, it's literally easy as one, two, three, right? But perhaps step one isn't easy, or perhaps step two isn't, step three isn't, whatever number you find that you're just still sitting in, actually. So say, for example, you've done step one. You've accepted your traumatic event. But step two, you've been sitting in it for 10, 20, 30 years. That means that you've been living the occasion. The event has already come and gone, but you're still living in the occasion of it. Traumatic events do have a beginning and they do have an ending. And they all happen in one sequence. Traumatic events, that is of it in its essence. So if you find yourself in step two for the past 10 years, 20 years, however long you've been there, then that means up to this point, either one, you haven't done your due diligence and properly seeking help. Or perhaps you have been seeking help and you just can't find the formula that has been it for you. It's kind of like ingredients to a cake, right? You can get on Pinterest, you can look up how to make a chocolate cake, the best chocolate cake, however you want to phrase it, right? And you will see so many stinking pins on there that give you all of these extra ideas, and you're just like, look, I just need a simple chocolate cake, and it tastes good, and it's not, you know, melting and falling off of a fork. And so say you go to Kroger, HEB, you get your ingredients to make this wonderful chocolate cake, and then you do all the work, and it comes out of the oven, and it's crap. So guess what? You sit there with your crappy cake, and you eat it. No, 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 no. Just because you buy something doesn't mean you have to eat it. Yeah, does it suck that you waste money? Sure. But don't keep going to the same thing if it's not serving you. If you have been working with a therapist or a counselor or a licensed professional of any kind, and they're not serving you, goodbye. And that's okay. There's plenty of them out here, I can assure you. And there are some really good ones that get overlooked. All because they don't have raving reviews. But as much as it's painful, you do will have to go through some trial and error. But don't give up. You can't, darling. You cannot sit in stage step two. So my encouragement, if you find yourself in step two, is to formulate a plan. Sit down, write down the things that you're absolutely have not worked for you. And then start looking at ideas and resources that would be beneficial and to serve you. And give those a try. Give it a try. What do you have to lose? Right? But more time. Okay. You've already been sitting in your occasion for 10 years now. Let's just add on another 6 months. Why don't we? It's okay if you need more time. But what's not okay is you to continuously sit in that time, sit in that occasion, and just accept that it is what it is, right? One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the Israelites. And if you're not familiar with your Old Testament, you better whip out your Bible, folks. And I'm giving you a very short clip here, but Israelites have been freed from slavery under Egyptian rule, okay? And they were promised of an abundance of land, which was considered the land of milk and honey. And I don't know about you, but that sounds very glorious right now. Anything that has honey is really good, by the way. It's very health beneficial. And milk, I'm lactose, so I don't know. I may have had to get some almond milk if I was there. But needless to say, they were promised the land of milk and honey. Yet, in their stubbornness, they walked around in the wilderness for 40 years. They've been living their traumatic event, which was slavery, the mindset of slavery by Egyptian rule, for thousands of years. I won't knock down what they went through. I'm certain their mindset was all sorts of jacked up. That's all they ever knew was slavery in this way. Yet they've been freed. Finally, redemption had came. And they had been freed. And they were walking. And they were waiting for their milk and honey land. Yet they walked around in the wilderness for 40 years. They lived in their occasion for 40 years. They did step one. They accepted. Sure. But step two, they missed out. And they've been living in step two for 40 stinking years. I don't know about you. I felt like I lost a lot of years on my life. It's nowhere near 40 years. Nowhere near it, and thank God. So, I'm with you. I don't want you to be walking around in your occasion showing up to the same event for 40 years. First of all, that's exhausting. Second of all, you're running out of wardrobe options, okay? But most of all, you have to get to step three, and that's the most important step. And when you get there, I can assure you what I mentioned well before this in the beginning. Things will change dramatically and very fast. So get ready. So again, I would encourage you to sit down, write down what has not worked for you in terms of your plan of care, right? When you go to a doctor, they give you a diagnosis. And that diagnosis consists of a plan of care. So your diagnosis today is trauma. That's what Dr. Chelsea's giving you, trauma. Okay? But it's not a prognosis of forever. You can heal. And you will. Like I said, if I can do it, so can you. If I've done my due diligence and my work, so can you. And you're not alone. That's the most beautiful thing about this. You're not alone. And I hope that in the weeks to come, I can really pump you up for this endeavor and for you to understand and realize that you're not alone in your healing journey. It will be perhaps a tough one, depending on the traumatic event that you're dealing with or haven't dealt with. But good news is you're not alone. And I think that this is the same beautiful message of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Homie showed up on planet Earth to make his presence known, to understand the full capacity of the human life, then to only take it upon himself to die on the cross for our sins so that we can be whole and healed. Whole and healed, people. And we're not alone. Right? So neither are you, my friend. Neither are you. And lastly, step three. When you get through the journey of step two, you're going to be in step two for a while. I can assure you that. But step three, that's paradise. Forgiving yourself. Not the person, not the people, not the whatever event, whatever your traumatic event was, whoever was behind that traumatic event. It can be one, it can be two, it can be, heck, it can be a whole stinging community. But either way it goes, it's not about them. It never has been. It's about you, my friend. It is about you and only you. This is your life. This is your journey. This is your mess. And this is your message. So, step three is victory time. Step three is the time of your life. Because when you can really get a hold of forgiving yourself, that is when things change. That is when you see life in a completely different lens. You're no longer showing up to the occasion in a mini black dress. No, you're showing up for your life that was supposed to be your life all along in the most glorious dress you could ever imagine. That's your identity, not the traumatic event. Thank you so much for being here with me today. I hope and I pray that you have gathered some insight from today on how to heal. I'm going to continue to talk about this topic in a part two, so stay tuned for that, because I really want to dig much deeper into this, and I would like to share some examples from my own personal life on how I had to heal. And though it's going to be entirely scary to actually put this out there in the world, I'm going to do it because I know that it's going to help people. And I know that there's someone, I don't know who, whoever you are, that's listening to this podcast and has just been at their end of the rope, so to speak. And I do not want you to ever feel that letting go of the rope is the answer, because it's not. It's not, my darling. And so I humbly thank you all, your support, your love, your messages that you send me. And I am very excited about this healing journey that will unravel in these weeks to come. And so thank you so much. Thank you for listening to Make Your Mess Your Message podcast. I'm your host, Chelsea Diaz. Good night.